Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 58. I thought it was really cool tonight that God said in the manifestations that we're to take a stand on His Word and take a stand for Him. Because that's what I'm teaching on tonight, taking a stand for God. Taking a stand for God. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, just like in the song we sang tonight, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so God's request to us is that we be steadfast and unmovable, that we stand firm, right? That we're rooted. And just like the song says, we can be unmovable, right? I shall not be moved like a tree. Right? And that's the image that God wants us to have, to be rooted and to be unmovable and to be steadfast. So we're going to take a look at a couple records tonight of people who either did or did not take a stand and see what it looks like. So go to Mark chapter 14, verse 26. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." So that was the prophecy. Jesus Christ was explaining that that's what was going to happen. He was going to be killed, and his disciples and apostles would be scattered. They would be offended because of him. Verse 28, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Right? So here we have Peter, who is, as we know, sometimes speaks before he really thinks, but he says, "Not me! I will, even though you said everybody will, it won't be me." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so Peter here is very human. He's very fired up for Jesus. But the prediction is that before the end of the night, he will deny Jesus Christ. And we're not going to work the scripture here, but Jesus basically telling him he's going to deny him six times. And if you look through the Gospels, there are six separate records or recordings of him denying Jesus Christ. We'll see if three of them here at the end of the chapter in verse 66. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Thou also was with him. I saw you. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. I know this guy. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and you sound like one too. Thy speech agreeth. You're definitely a Galilean. You were with them. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. So Peter gets all riled up and angry and says, It definitely wasn't me. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind, he remembered the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he what? He wept. He wept. Right? And so Peter has a reaction that I know I've had many times in the past, still do. But sometimes we can clam up, right? When somebody, you know, we feel like maybe that person's not going to receive the word, or that person might think poorly of us because, you know, we're a believer, we believe in God, or we believe in Jesus Christ. Right? Basically clamming up because of what others would think. And that's not taking a stand. Right? That's not taking a stand. Peter was all fired up. He said, "No, even if everybody denies you, I won't." And then when it came right down to it, he did so six times. Six times. Right? And his reaction was that he wept when he really considered what he had done for the great love that he had for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that to deny him six times really cut him. Really cut him. And Peter was a great believer, but like us, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. And so we have to take a stand and not clam up. Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a what? Lion." The righteous are bold as a lion. Are you righteous? Yes, you are. You're righteous, so therefore you can be what? Bold as a lion. If you're righteous, you can be bold as a lion. Just like this guy, right? Bold as a lion, right? We've been made righteous. Therefore, the word says we can be bold as lions and not clam up. Let's see what happens to Peter. Acts 4. This is the same Peter in Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. So we can be bold as a lion because we are righteous. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. This is after Peter and the other apostles receive Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now they're righteous too. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved or upset that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow, as that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, righteous, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel." And he goes on to address them and to really give them what for and to tell them the kind of people they were being. Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Right? Now that's boldness. That's not clamming up. They were faced with people who did not want them to speak the word of God any longer. But they said, we can't. We just have to, right? We just have to. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken together, was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? With boldness. And that was their prayer. After they were threatened, their prayer was for more boldness. And God answered their prayer. God answered their prayer. Chapter 5, verse 17. Not long after. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation or jealousy. They were jealous because they were going around healing and delivering people, and everybody was coming to them because the power of God was working in their lives. Because they were taking a stand. And when you take a stand, signs, miracles, and wonders follow. And they were getting results. So they were filled with jealousy. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So again, they apprehend them. They put them in prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. And said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Keep it up. Keep doing it. So twice they are apprehended, put into prison, and God delivers them. Verse 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men. So they are let go from prison, and the council gets together, and Gamaliel comes and sort of talks to the council and basically says this, after they reason about what they should do with these guys. I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. If this is just, you know, the next group of crazy people who are preaching something of their own, it'll all go away like everything else does. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. If this is of God, you are fighting against God, and that's not a good idea. That's their counsel. That was the counsel. And to him, they agreed. They said, well, you got a point there. And when they had called the apostles and let them go kindly, yeah. No, they beat them. So they were in prison, and God got them out. They come and find them again, and they beat them up. That doesn't sound fun. Neither of those things are fun. But they kept taking a stand. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were happy about it. They were happy they were put in prison. They were happy they got beaten up because they knew what their stand meant and what it was doing. They rejoiced about it. They didn't say, man, that hurt. Maybe we should knock it off. They rejoiced about it. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So did they listen to the council who beat them? No. They went right back to doing what they had been doing. And so this is the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ, right? The same Peter, along with the other apostles, who were just filled with great boldness. They're righteous now and filled with great boldness. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. That's taking a stand for God. The circumstances were not good at all, but they rejoiced in them because they knew they were doing the Word of God. And that's when sometimes things get tough. right? The adversary is going to ignore you if you're not really doing anything for God. He doesn't care, right? But if you're taking a stand, that's when the pressure is going to mount, because that's not what he wants. So if you feel attacked when you take a stand, that's what you should expect. That's what you should expect. Ephesians 6:13, and here's what God does for you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? To stand. He's equipped you to stand. He's given you the armor of God to take a stand, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's given you what you need to take a stand. He's going to protect you. He's going to watch out for you. Right? You've got peace. You've got believing. You've got salvation. You've got the Word of God. These are all things that God has equipped you with to take a stand. He wants to help you do it. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look at two records in Daniel of men taking a stand for God and how it plays out. And they're both very similar. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, about 90 feet tall. That's a big image. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, and in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then all these people come. They gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king set up, and they stood before the image that he had set up. Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image." You worship the golden image. You worship this 90-foot-tall gold statue thing I made that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And so this is the decree. I have set up this big old image and you must worship it or die. That was the law. That was the law. It's like our governor telling us we have to do something, right? That's the law, right? That's what they did. They said, this is the law, but that law was what? Against God, right? It was against God's word. So, verse 12. There are certain Jews, so these guys come and they tell on some people. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're not doing what you said. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. So this is the questioning and the threatening, right? So you have a decree. You have the questioning and the threatening of those who are not doing it. And verse 16, the reply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not anxious about our answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So the choice was worship or die, and they said, we're not going to do it. That's taking a stand. right? In the face of certain death. Verse 23. What happens? Well, the king said he was going to do it. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they get chucked in. Maybe they shouldn't have taken a stand. But that's not the end of the story. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king, that's right, three. And he answered and said, lo, look, I see four men loose. We threw them in bound, and I see them loose. And there's an extra guy, too, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, or like an angel. Right? And so that's the deliverance. The deliverance. They're thrown into the fiery furnace, and God sends his angel to protect them, and he delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then that's not the end of the story either. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded or gave up their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Wow. This guy loves his violent deaths, right? Throw him in the fire. Cut him into pieces. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so that is the end of the story. There's a great fruit after the deliverance, right? He makes a decree that, hey, you better worship this God who can deliver people. And he promotes them over his kingdom, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And so we have the decree, we have the questioning and the threatening when they don't. We have them taking a stand. We have the deliverance because they took a stand. And then the fruit of taking that stand. So go to chapter 6, verse 7. So God's got it covered top to bottom, right? He's going to deliver you, and there's going to be fruit in doing so, in taking a stand for God. Daniel 6, verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. So we have another decree. That whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for the next 30 days, except for you, O king, if anybody asks anything of a god or a man and not of the king for the next 30 days, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Right? And so the backstory here is all these people who were jealous of Daniel kind of trick the king into making this decree, play to his ego, and say, yeah, I make this law. That sounds great, right? He says, sure, that sounds great. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that this writing was signed, he knew the new law, but that new law was against what God wanted, right? That new law was against what God wanted. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, just like he did before, as he did aforetime. This changed nothing for Daniel. He was taking a stand. He knew, hey, I pray every day with God. Every day, three times a day, I get down on my knees and I pray to God. And I'm not changing that. I don't care what the law says. Right? That was the reply. In verse 7, we have the decree. In verse 10, we have the reply. I'm gonna do it. Verse 16. Then the king commanded that, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou serves continually, he will deliver thee. Right? The king had to follow through on the decree. He didn't want to. He felt tricked into this position, but he followed through and said, God will take care of you. I know it. And Daniel knew it too. Verse 20. And when he came to the den, the king, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou serves continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Are you there, Daniel? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And so God delivers Daniel. Right? Daniel prayed and God shut the mouths of the lions so that they would not harm him. And that's the deliverance. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no hurt came to them in the fire. No hurt came to Daniel in the den. Just like the apostles who were loosed out of prison by God. Verse 25, and the fruit of taking a stand. The king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Here's a new decree. That every dominion of my kingdom, or that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so he makes a new decree that they should worship the one true God. And again, Daniel prospers in the reign. He is a man of great renown under these kings. Right? And that's the fruit of taking a stand. We're going to close in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. So God has equipped us to take a stand. He's promised to deliver us and to protect us when we do. And we can expect great things to come to pass as we take a stand for God and His Word. Romans 1, verse 14. This is Paul speaking. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, with everything that I've got, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And that word ready is prothumon, or intensity at its peak. With as much as was in him, with everything that he had, he was ready with intensity at its peak to preach God's word. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Right? And that should be our attitude, to take a stand for God with as much as in us is, with everything that we have, not being ashamed of what God has done for us, not being ashamed of His Word and what His Son accomplished, and to be ready to speak. Because it is. It's the power of God. It's the salvation to everybody, to Jew and to Greek likewise. Right? To take a stand for God, He will always back us up.